You're listening to the Voices of Open Government, a show from the Open Government Partnership. In this podcast, we'll share conversations on how we can do government differently and explore ways to renew our democracies, making them more transparent, participatory, inclusive, and accountable. I'm your host, Stephanie Bluma. In today's episode, we'll discuss how open government principles helped address COVID-19 in South Cotabato in the Philippines, including how the local government used technology to engage citizens in policymaking. Our guest today is Ronaldo Tamayo Jr. He's governor of South Cotabato, a province located in Mindanao, the southern region of the Philippines. Governor Tamayo started his public service at the age of 27. And became the youngest governor ever of South Cotabato at age 39. In this episode, we'll also hear from Yanuar Nugroho. Yanuar is the former deputy chief of staff at the Executive Office of the President of Indonesia. He's also an envoy for the Open Government Partnership. Thank you both for joining us. Governor, I would love to start with you for our audience out there that may not be familiar with South Cotabato. Can you just explain a little bit where it is? What's it like? What's the current situation?
South Cotabato is in the southern part of the Philippines. It's a dominantly agricultural, industrial province. No? We have a progressive yet slow-paced atmosphere. We have a lot of nature tourist spots here in our province. Right now, with regards to pandemic, the pandemic is already controlled in our province right now. So we already welcome tourists to come to South Cotabato.
That's great. It sounds beautiful. I want to hear a little bit about your background. I understand that you got started at the young age of 27. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit about your career in government?
Yeah, actually, before I entered government service, I was once a information technologist, a system developer. Then I founded a school here, a college school in our small town, Tupi, in South Cotabato. Then way back 2007, I entered politics as municipal councilor. Unfortunately, our vice mayor died 4 months after the election, and I assume office as the vice mayor of the municipality. And the following election, I ran for mayor, and I was the mayor of Tupi from 2010 up to 2019, 9 years, 3 terms. And I ran for governor last 2019, and it's my first term of office as the governor here in South Cotabato. And now I'm running for my second term for next year.
And Governor, what made you first get interested in making the transition from more of the IT world to politics?
Before I entered politics, as I mentioned earlier, I founded a school that offers actually education to limited students only. No? But before that, I was also a government scholar in college. My wife also is a government scholar, and I think that's the best way, maybe, that I can help a lot of children to go to school for free. And being in the public service, public office, I know, with a correct system of government, implementation of good governance, I think I can use, or maybe I can make everybody go to school for free here in our province.
That's great. That's a great transition, more specifically to the Open Government Partnership, or OGP. Maybe can you explain just what's the theory? How does it work?
Actually, in open government, it's more on transparency issues now. To change the system of governance, when I was the mayor of Tupi, it's already in the OGP. And I really appreciate it. The transparency, how we involve people in our governance, it's more on participatory governance, and a consultative way of governance. That's the key in OGP.
Thank you, Governor. I think that's great because the Philippines is one of the, if I may say, champions for open government in Asia together with Indonesia. I think we both, Indonesia and the Philippines, are quite active in not only promoting open government at the discourse level, but also take it into the field. And I'm so glad and so excited to learn from you and what you are doing in your province. Answering you, Stephanie, I think since the inception back in 2011, I happened to follow that quite early from the beginning when I was still with the government of Indonesia. At that time, I was advisor and director to the President's Delivery Unit for Development, Monitoring and Oversight, which was responsible for the running of open government in Indonesia. I think one of the most important aspect of open government is, of course, promoting transparency, promoting accountability, promoting fairness, innovation, participation, that's clear. But I think one of the most important aspect is networking of the champions. So, Governor, we need many, many more public officials like you. I remember in many instances, in many events, I remember what I always was waiting was, you know, meeting reformers, meeting governors, meeting mayors, meeting regions who have, you know, reformist agenda. And I think that's what open government is all about, Stephen.
That's great. And I know it's been a while since we've all seen each other in person. So hopefully soon. But it's also a good transition. Governor, you were part of OGP's Virtual Leaders Summit during the United Nations General Assembly. And you told a really interesting story about how open government principles were used by you as you all dealt with COVID-19. I wonder if you could tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, actually, there are only three ways during the start of pandemic to check, to eliminate, or to slow down the effect of the COVID-19 in our areas. Number one, we need to test. Then after that, we need to trace those contacts, trace and treatment those who are infected with the virus. So what we did, especially, as I mentioned, I was one of the IT specialists here in the Philippines before. So I decided to make a system that will trace those connections or close contacts of those who are tested positive in our areas. So we developed the tracing software, a South Cotabato contact tracing system. And this contact tracing system will be more effective if those LGUs or provinces near South Cotabato will also implement this contact tracing app. So we expand this system to other provinces, to other regions, to other islands in the Philippines for free. So that is why it was used by around 70 LGUs now, and it's for free. We lend this system to them for free. We let them use the system, and the database is stored in a secured area. And also, we implement the Data Privacy Act, and the privacy is really there, you know, when it comes to the data of the individuals who are using the contact tracing app. And for that, it is easy for us to trace. It is easy for us to detect. No, that is why we have a very good positivity rate in our testing center because of this effective contact tracing app.
Governor, can I ask you something, Governor?
Yes.
How do you manage the challenge with this digital approach? For example, how you protect the data of the citizens, making sure that the data is being used in a responsible way? I think because this is the challenge as well for my country.
Yeah, we have what we call a auditor. We create an auditing team to audit the movement of data. Our IT specialists who are in charge, every time we touch the data, it will be recorded and it will be audited by an audit team that involves business owners, non-government organizations, and other private sectors. So as the same as implementation on our OGP, the auditing scheme, it is secured. We make sure it is secured. At the same time, we make sure that every time we touch the data, it is recorded and it will be submitted to an audit team.
It's so interesting. I heard about this story a while ago, but it's still interesting to see how you put it together. I'm coming back to a point that Yanwar made earlier, and Governor, you hit on it as well. How important is it that reforms like this and activities like this can be spread or given to other governments, local or otherwise, to utilize? And maybe, Yanwar, to you, how can OGP best play that role in terms of peer exchanges and the scaling up and sharing of knowledge?
Thank you, Stephanie. I think OGP provides a platform for champions, for leaders like Governor to meet, to exchange experience. And I think spreading good news also works. I know that we live at the moment in the era where, you know, fake news, everything spread over across the internet very, very quickly. But I believe good practice, things that the governor is doing in South Cotabato, for example, that could be, you know, inspiring for many, many other leaders in the world, not just in the region. That's why, for example, OGP has the so-called OGP locals. I believe you are familiar with this. And Indonesia itself, I think this year, we have 4 subnational governments joining OGP locals. They are not from Jakarta. They are, in fact, quite away from the capital. But I think that's the spirit of openness, the spirit of accountability. And they show the public that they can run the public office in an accountable way, in an open way, in a transparent way. And that, I think, facilitates better and more quality public services, as I believe that's the core of what Governor is doing, right? And even that's his motive, right, Governor? When you took the office, you wanted to have free and quality education for all, basically. And I believe, Stephanie, as an OGP, you know, hopefully campaigner or OGP chairman, now officially I'm an OGP envoy, I really hope OGP can thrive, not as an end itself, but as a way, facilitator, that good things can happen.
That's good. And I know, Governor, you are in the process of co-creating another action plan. And in the spirit of what Yanwar said, is good news. Is there any good news to report out of your co-creation process so far? Anything that the community might be interested in hearing about?
Actually, yeah, like Yanwar said, really the good news will be the basis of expanding, or what we call the practices that we have that have a great effect to people. The good effect is some LGUs nearby in our province will definitely follow that good practices, because it will be, you know, people will be talking that in this area, why there is a free education, a quality and free education, why in our area we don't have like that. So definitely some local government leaders also will follow our good practices here. The good news will really spread, and it will be the basis of expanding the good works. You know?
That's great. And how have you, I know COVID-19 has in many places made the co-creation process challenging, because it's forced things to go online, or it's made travel and in-person meetings difficult. During COVID-19, Governor, how have you worked to make sure there's diverse voices as part of the co-creation process?
All our practices here, we always involve our people. We have a good organizations here. We have a structured organization from the Puruk level, the smallest unit in our community, up to the barangay, municipal level, and to the provincial level. Most of our people here were already organized. We make organization and cooperatives from Puruk level to provincial level. It is federated, confederated, you know. It's really a structured organization. So it's very easy for us, even in the times of pandemic, to co-create things and to spread, or to have a good co-creation because of these structures that we have here in our province.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yanwar, I'm curious. So you were around when OGP was just really at the national level, before it had sub-nationals or locals involved, and the formal larger local program actually launched during the pandemic, 2020. I'm curious, why is the focus of open government at the local level? Why do you think that's so important, especially now as we're still coming out of this pandemic?
Thanks, Stephanie. I think two things. One, we believe that the real change happens in the field. That's one. Second, I think when we talk about public service, in which during the pandemic was most needed, I think the role of local governments, subnational governments, is extremely important. I understand completely what Governor mentioned, because we also have this, situations, everywhere, basically, but also in Indonesia. And when you mentioned it's challenging for the process of co-creation, because during the time of crisis, in most cases, it is the government who leads, right, usually. While in OGP, we believe the co-creation. What I see important, or I see working, is that even in the time of crisis, when the government leads many initiatives, and the government has to do that for sure, to protect the life of the citizens. But it is also important to see how OGP also enables the government also to keep, the consultation with civil society at the very least. In many cases in OGP locals in Indonesia, that or in subnational governments in Indonesia, what I see is that civil society also play their part, helping the government, not in terms of, being subordinate, but working together, responding to the pandemic.
Yeah, we often use the word trust. It's about trust between citizens and the government and ensuring that government is actually serving the needs of its citizens.
I think that's the challenge, Stephanie, as you mentioned. That's because during the pandemic, when the government leads, government can also be seen as, exercising. And I can see in many parts of the world, and also the concern also is in Indonesia as well, how civic space is shrinking, right? Because of government intervention in during COVID, government exercised more power. And I know that there's been a concern of many, many people, many civil society. And I think this is why OGP is important, to make sure that the exercise of power is accountable, is transparent. For example, how you use the data to really tell your citizens how many tests you do, how many cases we have, how many deaths we have, vaccination, how you can help. I think these are the avenues, Stephanie, if I may say, how open government can actually, and I believe open government can do its part.
Yeah, Governor, obviously in lots of places around the world, trust between government and the people it serves was in question at times during the pandemic. What do you think it is about the work that you've done in South Cotabato that ensured that government and the citizens sort of trusted each other to try and work their way out of the pandemic?
Yeah, we always involve our citizens in our governance here in South Cotabato. We make sure that everything is in a consultative way of governance, wherein we really involve our citizens here, especially when during the time of pandemics. We have this organization, Bulig South Cotabato, Bulig Coronadal. It means the citizens help each other to cross the effect of the pandemic, especially in the food supply areas. And we also involve our citizens in discussions of how we will centralize the treatment facilities. Actually, in South Cotabato, we made a hospital that is intended for COVID patients only. And it is impossible for the government to run that hospital alone. So we involved the medical society. They are from private sector. We involved them in making that hospital realize. We involved the private hospitals, allowed their medical employees to volunteer in that hospital, lent us some equipment for that hospital. It's actually a hospital run by the provincial government, by the citizen, by the private sector, by the private hospitals, and those who are willing to join that unifications to have a hospital run for COVID patients only. And during that time, the Department of Health, actually the national government, is not satisfied, or they did not allow that hospital to be accredited in the Department of Health. So we don't have payments coming from PhilHealth. No, our COVID patients there, we never collected any amount. No, it's totally free for COVID patients. But because of the transparency, because of the accountability, because of involving the citizens, involving the society, it makes it really a reality that we can make a difference here in South Cotabato. Until now, that hospital is operating, but we are planning to turn over that hospital to national government to make that hospital as a regional hospital here in our region.
The hospital is a great example, and I really like it because it involves partnership in terms of, you said, medical communities and citizens and people lending equipment. So it's a government-run hospital, but really the running of it day-to-day is a partnership. Yanwar, I'm going to ask you a question since you were around when OGP first started. One question I get a lot is, what is OGP? Is it a multilateral initiative? Is it an NGO? You know, how do you describe it? And my answer always is, it's in the name. It's a partnership. That's how it was originally devised. I'm just curious, how do you describe OGP when people ask about it?
Well, Stephanie, same questions to all of us, actually, when we first introduced OGP to someone new to the initiative. But to me, OGP is basically an initiative. It is multilateral, yes, but it is not formal, not official, not like the UN. It is multilateral initiative, I think, whose intention is to promote democracy, basically. You know, widening democracy through what? Transparency, good governance. I think, for me, if someone asks me what OGP is, I would say, if the one who asks me comes from the government, for example, I would say, well, this is an excellent global but a voluntary initiative of governments from across the world to promote democracy through transparency, accountability. This is my answer. And if they are getting more interested, usually I will put some more like, and also through networking of champions, networking of good ministers, governors, mayors, regents. And usually then that attracts more questions. And then I can explain a bit more, because I know that it's not easy for anyone to understand the nature, especially if you are looking at the structure, for example. It's multilateral, but voluntary. The governance is, you know, more, you know, self-managed. But I think that's the essence of OGP. We do not need something outside us. We do not need something external to push us, to force us to the right things. Why accountability? Because it is right. Why transparent? Because it is right. Why participatory? Because it is right. I think in the world, which is at the moment, you know, not just gradually, but dramatically changing, getting more complex, it is impossible for us to rely only on government. Of course, government is there and government will remain, you know, relevant. But we need more people to come together to the table, you know, to offer perspective, to offer thinking, to offer horizons, anything. And that's how we deal, how we address the complexity of the world today. And I think that's why OGP is important.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting for me, obviously, not having been around 10 years ago. And I think there's the community's grown a great deal since then. So there are a lot of people who weren't around 10 years ago. So I think
78 countries now.
Yeah. So hearing kind of about the spirit and the way it was started, I think is really important as we enter our 10th year. And Governor, I know South Cotabato was part of OGP before you were governor.
Yeah.
So you can come in and look at it and had a choice to say, is this something, you know, we want to continue? Are we getting value out of it? So I'm curious, why did you decide of all the things that you could be doing that the OGP platform was something that you wanted to continue with?
Yeah, you know, OGP is more on, you know, transparency issues, you know, accountability, innovations in governance. So I think there is no reason why not to continue the OGP, even if it was started with my former boss and former opponent during the 2019 elections. But I really see the value of the OGP program. It's really good, especially for our citizens here. And we are looking forward that this OGP will not only be implemented in our province, but that it will be implemented in the nearby provinces, the region, and I think it's very good to implement this in the whole country, Philippines. It will really change the way the governance is implemented in our society here. The biggest challenge to expand this program to other provinces is to change the concept of the leaders in some provinces here in our island. First, we need to change their mindset, their direction, their concept of governance, the way they lead their people. So, you know, that's the biggest challenge. But in a backdoor approach, we spread the good news to their constituents and let their constituents ask them for this way of governance that we have in South Cotabato. That's the only way, because it's very hard to talk to leaders that, you know, their direction is different from us.
Yeah, just to pick up on that point, I mean, I think it's interesting changing mindsets as a way forward for spreading some of the values of open government. To that end, Governor, as you think about the next decade of OGP, the next 10 years, how do you think that mindset can be changed in the Philippines and around the world?
Yeah, I am the national president of one of the political party in the Philippines, the Partido Federal ng Pilipinas. And our approach is more on involving the citizens. We have these principles of the same principles with the OGP, involving the citizens in the governance that we have. We call it direct democracy. The participatory governance or the consultative way of governance, we inject this in citizens in some regions, in some provinces. We inject this in our citizens. You know, this must be the way the governance you have in your province or in regions. So we change the mindset of the grassroots citizens to make their leaders realize that this is now the new trend of the governance or leadership that we have. So, you know, we started from the grassroots to the level of leaders. So I think that's the way we are doing here. That's our way of changing the system of governance. But in the 10 years from now, we are looking forward that this OGP will be expanded to some regions, not only in Mindanao, but in the whole Philippines.
Yanwar, similar question to you. So the governor talked about direct democracy. We've talked about citizen-centric democracy. OGP's talked about beyond the ballot box. There's participatory democracy, deliberative democracy. Setting all the phrases aside for a moment, you know, what's your thought about, you know, the role of citizens really in the next 10 years of OGP?
I've been contemplating on this, Stephanie, especially since the pandemic. And also, of course, now we are at our 10 years of OGP. I agree that the challenge is multifold in the future. And if there is one phrase that I can use, OGP should be able to help everyone, not just as inhabitants of this planet Earth, but to be a more concerned citizens wherever they live, wherever they belong. Because that is the only way. And I think that is the job of any government. The citizens are not just their constituents. The citizens are not just the beneficiaries for civil society. I think both for governments and civil society organizations, what is important is to make sure that the citizens, the constituents of the political parties or the beneficiaries of civil society, that they are transformed into more concerned citizens. And that's where OGP plays its part, you know, as a platform to exchange ideas, how we can better do this, how we can better network, how we can better exchange ideas and become inspiration to one another. Because again, in the future, the challenge, we can even see it from now, you know, climate. that's one of the biggest, if not I, to me, this perhaps the biggest one. The report of IPCC from the UNFCCC, those 4,900 pages reports, only have one argument, that 100% this climate crisis is caused by human. So there is no other way, we cannot escape. That's one. Second, with this Industry 4.0, all this digitalization, on the one hand, it brings us, of course, a better way and easier way to live here and there. But also, it poses us new risk. So both natural and manufactured risks, with we enjoy the growth of economy, but also we see unprecedented challenges and problems in our humanity. So I think we live in this world and we cannot escape. So I think that's how I see in the next decade, how OGP can play its role. And I believe its role will get more and more important.
Thank you. You added another phrase, concerned citizen, to the mix. Just what we need for the next 10 years. Thank you for that. So I want to thank you both for joining us. It was great to have a conversation where I heard the phrase good news quite a bit. So it's great to see the progress that's being made and the hopefulness you both have for the future. So I think we'll leave it there. Some great takeaways today from Governor, your inspiring story of starting young in politics and then using those IT skills to help tackle COVID-19. Yanwar, for all of your work with OGP the past 10 years and for the new phrase, concerned citizen, to add to that and for your great words on the importance of partnership. So thank you both.
Thank you very much.
And thank you. Thank you.
We'll sign off from a cold and windy evening in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Governor.
I hope you liked today's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For the latest updates on open government, you can also follow OGP on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Before we go, we'd like to say a special thank you to our producers at Human Group Media for making this podcast possible. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to catch you again on our next episode.